ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मणिब्राह्मणि वासुदेवे क्रियाकलापाय समुवाह भक्तिं यवाभिरिञ्चान् निरयांश्चकार.
In this way, because of devotional service, Maharaj Ambarish, who was endowed with varieties of transcendental qualities, was completely aware of Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he executed devotional service perfectly. Because of his devotion, he taught even the topmost planet of this material world no better than the hellish planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. An exalted devotee, like Maharaj Ambarish, is in full awareness of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. In other words, a devotee of Vasudeva Krishna is in full knowledge of the other features of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Rameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Shabjite. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, knows everything, Vasudeva Sarvam iti, because Vasudeva Krishna includes both Paramatma and Brahman. One does not have to realize Paramatma by the yoga system. For the devotee always thinking of Vasudeva is the topmost yogi, yoginam api sarvesham. And as far as jnana is concerned, if one is a perfect devotee of Vasudeva, he is the greatest mahatma. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. A mahatma is one who has full knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Thus, Maharaj Ambarish, being a devotee of the Personality of Godhead, was in full awareness of Paramatma Brahman, Maya, the material world, the spiritual world, and how things are going on everywhere. Everyone and everything was known to him. Yasmin vijyate sarvam evam vijyatam bhavati. Because the devotee knows Vasudeva, he knows everything within the creation of Vasudeva. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlava. Such a devotee does not give much value to the highest standard of happiness within this material world. Narayana parasarve nakutashtina bhibhyate swargapavarga narakeshu apitulyarati darshanaha. Because he is fixed in devotional service, a devotee does not regard any position in the material world as important. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has therefore written in the Chaitanya Chandramrita, Kaivalyam narakayate tridashpur akasha pushpayate duradantendriya khala sarpa patthali prokthatha dhamstratayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendradischa kithayate yat karunya kathaksha vaibhavatam tam gauram evastumaha. For one who becomes a pure devotee through devotional service to great personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaivalya, or merging into Brahman, appears no better than hell. As far as the heavenly planets are concerned, to a devotee they are like a phantasmagoria or will-o'-the-wisp. And as far as yogic perfection is concerned, a devotee does not care a fig for such perfection, since the purpose of yogic perfection is achieved automatically by a devotee. This is all possible when one becomes a devotee of the Lord through the medium of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. In this way, because of devotional service, Maharaj Ambarish, who was endowed with varieties of transcendental qualities, was completely aware of Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he executed devotional service perfectly. Because of his devotion, he thought even the topmost planet of this material world no better than the hellish planets. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the definition of pure devotional service. When our approach to Krishna or bhakti is unmixed by any tinge of jnana yoga, karma yoga, or mystic yoga, when we are simply engaging in the process of pleasing our spiritual master on the path of bhakti, then we can attain pure devotional service. Because karma yoga means that we still have some aspiration for fruitive gain in this world. As long as we have that inclination, we cannot attain pure devotional service. The process of jnana ultimately is to reach the state of kaivalya or liberation. As long as we have a tinge of desire for liberation, we cannot attain pure devotional service. What to speak of the performance of yoga for the purpose of attaining siddhis or mystic perfections? These are also disturbances, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. So try to understand the very extraordinary position of the great souls on the path of bhakti. That what persons who are considered by the world to be the greatest saints in history have performed austerities for perhaps hundreds and thousands of lifetimes to attain. The devotees want nothing to do with these things. And here we find the expression of love of God given by a true disciple of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. It's a beautiful verse from the Chaitanya Chandramrita, which in essence is his purport to the verse of Shikshastakam that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam bhajagatisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoi takitvai ahoi takitvai. The Lord is praying only for unconditional service to him. And what is that mood of unconditional service? Nadanam. I do not want any amount of wealth. This means he's kicking out karma yoga. People aspire for karma yoga because they want good position in this world. They want prosperity. It is certainly true they are religious people. They are even one out of millions in this age of Kali Yuga. One who's practicing karma yoga is one out of a million in Kali Yuga. Because they're sincerely approaching God. But they want material benedictions. They want a nice husband or wife. They want a nice home. They want a nice family. And they want prosperity. They want success in business endeavors. And those who are really serious in this regard, they not want not only these things in this world, but in the next world, they want elevation to heavenly planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kicks it out. I do not want wealth. And Prabodhananda Saraswati, he expands on this. He says, as far as the heavenly planets are concerned, to a devotee they are like a phantasmagoria or will-o'-the-wisp. Phantasmagoria means they're simply a big illusion. Phantasmagoria means just a very grand exhibition that, like a flash, like fireworks here in Tropati during the Diwali, right in front of our temple. Sometimes they spend lots and lots of money. Fireworks are not very cheap. They work very hard. They may work weeks to earn enough money to have one of these big lines of firecrackers. And then you put the match to it, and lights, rockets, flashings everywhere. And within 1.5 minutes, it's finished. All that's left is smoke. It was a grand show. For the karmis out there, how much they enjoy it, right? They enjoy it like anything. They work hard hours for these firecracker monies. And they just, the blast, the noise, the lights, they're just intoxicated by it all. But in a few seconds, it's gone. It's finished. There's nothing left except smoke. And that smoke only lasts a few minutes. So that is a phantasmagoria. Big flash show. Intoxicates your senses for a few seconds, and then it's gone. But for the devotees, even when the phantasmagoria is taking place, even when the exhibition is taking place, a devotee simply sees it as a disturbance. When the karmis hear the first one go off, they all run to their windows to see. The devotees close their windows because they want to hear Bhagavatam class. So they close all the doors and all the windows so they're not disturbed by these things, so they can just listen to Krishna Katha. The karmis are running to the doors, running outside. Just see, it's a phantasmagoria. Let us enjoy. So this whole material creation, abrama bhuvanaloka punaravatanorjana mamupeta tukondya punarajanamanavidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, it is all a phantasmagoria. It is all just like a firecracker exhibition. Lord Brahma, in his abode of Brahmaloka, you can live for billions of years, perhaps trillions of years, just enjoying sensual pleasures which we cannot even imagine. But for Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is tasting the sweetness of pure devotional service, he is saying it's like a firecracker. Therefore, if he's offered a life in Brahmaloka of great pleasures, he closes his doors to it. It's just a disturbance. It's a disturbance to his mind. It's a disturbance to his senses, because he wants to keep his mind on Krishna. So we should understand that whole material world with all the offerings of this world to a devotee, it's all like the firecrackers out there. Very wonderful to the karmis. But for us, it's nothing but a disturbance. It's simply a distraction from our sadhana, from our chanting of the holy name, from our hearing about Krishna, from our going and preaching. sometimes it is described by the great sages, Prabhupada would quote, that enjoyment of the material world is like sky flowers. Sky flowers means flowers that are growing in the sky. It's a nice thought, it's a nice imagination, but it is not a reality. The enjoyments of this world are all simply our imagination. They have no true reality. They're temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. Therefore, a devotee, not only does he not have interest, nadanam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want these things. But Prabodhananda Saraswati is explaining, it's simply a disturbance, we avoid these things. Nadanam najanam na sundari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women in the form of sense gratification. Jamunacharya. He was a king who was enjoying the pleasures of this world in a grand style. But after he, by the grace of his father and his Gurudev, he was shown the sweetness of pure devotional service, he had no concern for these things anymore. Actually, his father was a Brahmin. You know the story. Jamunacharya was a Brahmin, a young boy. He was going to Gurukul. And his Gurudev was insulted by one great, great pundit who was favorite of the king. And he cared nothing for any pleasures of this world. But he could not tolerate seeing his Guru Maharaj insulted. Could not tolerate seeing him minimized. Because his spiritual master was being forced to pay tax. Anyone who lost in debate or who accepted defeat in debate to this one pundit of the king's was forced to pay tax. So they came once. His Gurudev was not there, which is Jamunacharya was there. He was just a small boy, very young boy. I think only like 12 years old, something. And so he said, I'm not going to give your guru any taxes. How can you blaspheme and insult my guru, who's a pure devotee of God, by saying he was defeated by this scholar of your guru? I'm not paying him anything. I don't believe he was defeated. They were outraged. The king already agreed that anyone who doesn't pay tax to this man, if they are defeated by him, will be imprisoned or killed. So this child, he said, I will challenge your guru. If he cannot defeat me, how will he defeat my guru? So he went. And the queen was so attracted to the effulgence of this boy that she told her husband that he's going to win. Husband says, impossible. No one can defeat my spiritual master. He's the greatest pundit in all the land. So they made a bet that if this child wins, you have to give him half your kingdom. He said, all right, I agree. So of course, it's a beautiful story how he defeated this pundit. He had three questions that pundit could not answer. He said, you defeat these three questions. I'll tell you one of the questions. The queen was standing right before him. He said, the queen, what was the question? What was the challenge? that the queen is a chaste wife. Now he had to, this pundit had to defeat him and prove him wrong. He was outraged because the queen was standing right there. If he did prove him wrong, the queen would have him killed. If he didn't prove him wrong, he loses the debate. So he said, I cannot, how this has been possible. Now, you rascal, you are insulting the queen. If you cannot disprove your own argument, I will have you killed. This little boy said, oh, the queen is glorious. You want me to prove how she's unchaste? Because a chaste wife is only obedient to one husband. But it is said that the queen is representing all the demigods. So therefore, she is acting in the position like the wife of all the great devatas. So therefore, she has this responsibility to all these great husbands. So this is her glory. But even though she's still so, she's still so chaste and perfectly faithful to her husband, but she has so many millions of other husbands in the forms of all the devatas. That is the position of a glorious queen. And then the king stood up and said, I will give you half my kingdom. The other pundit had to accept defeat. So in this way, Jamunacharya, became the king. He didn't want it, it just came. It was Krishna's mercy. But as king, he became very much gradually intoxicated by the kingdom. But because he accepted it in the service of the Lord, in the end, Krishna comes to the rescue. You see, sometimes when you accept some large material responsibility, and in the service of the Lord, sometimes we become intoxicated by the facilities that are provided. But because he accepted it in devotional service, in the end, his father, who was a great Brahmin, his disciple, tricked Jamunacharya and brought him to Sri Rangam. Because Jamunacharya was just fighting war, he needed a big, big treasury. He said, I know the best treasure, you just follow me. And every day on the way, he would recite Bhagavad Gita to Jamunacharya. He became very purified. And gradually he brought them to the lotus feet of Sri Ranganath and Sri Rangam and told them, here is the greatest, highest treasure in all the world. And after associating with the sadhu for so many days and hearing from him, he became so much purified that when he saw the form of Krishna, he accepted, yes, this is the greatest wealth, devotion to Krishna. And he gave up his kingdom and everything. And after he did that, he prayed that sex life is the greatest, most intoxicating pleasure in all the 14 worlds. And its sweetness is enamoring everyone and all species of life. But now that I have tasted the sweetness of devotion to Sri Krishna, when I even think of sex, I spit at the thought and my lips curl in distaste. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nasundari, I do not care for these things. And Prabodhananda Saraswati goes on. He said, a devotee does not care a fig for such perfection. And as far as yogic perfection is concerned, a devotee does not care a fig for such perfection, since the purpose of yoga perfection is achieved automatically by the devotee. People perform in the Himalayas great, great, great tapasya. We find here in India someone who can perform magical tricks, someone who could read people's minds, some people who could tell past, present, and future. Understand that this is not just something that naturally comes. Someone may have this intuition in this life, but that means that such a person has performed very severe and rigid yogic practices in previous lives to attain such a high consciousness of material life. So what they are giving their life after life after life's energy for, here Prabodhananda Saraswati says he doesn't care a fig for such a thing. When one mystic yogi came to Prabhupada and started showing him all these wonderful yogic tricks, the devotees were intoxicated, thinking, my God, this man really can do these things. Unbelievable. He's really empowered. And Prabhupada was just completely bored watching his display of shows. He was actually creating things out of the air. Prabhupada was thoroughly bored. He was just looking at it like, so what? And at the end, he just looked at this man and said, why don't you give up all this nonsense and surrender to Krishna? The man looked at Prabhupada and said, yes, what you're saying is correct. Compared to your state of love of Krishna, this is all of nonsense. Gave Prabhupada a donation, became life member. At least Prabhupada said, okay, now at least you're starting somewhere in your spiritual life. This man has thousands of disciples. But as far as Prabhupada's concerned, when he gave a donation, he was beginning his spiritual life. His disciples thought he was the highest perfection. Devotee doesn't care a fig for mystic perfections. Durvasa Muni had all mystic perfections. All mystic cities were perfected in his life. Ambarish Maharaj could not care less for any of them. He was simply concerned with serving the sadhus. And serving those people who were depending on him in his kingdom by providing Krishna consciousness. His only concern, very simple, very humble. He was not attracted by, he didn't care a fig for Durvasa Muni's great potencies. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mama Janamini Janmanishwari. I do not care for liberation. And Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he expands on this. He says, one who becomes a pure devotee through devotional service to great personalities like Lord Chaitanya, Kaivalya, or merging into Brahman, appears no better than hell. Advertisement, and if you read there, they have so many publications of books, and practically everyone is teaching people the path to liberation. And people are buying them by the millions because everyone is attracted toward liberation. And even when you're preaching Krishna consciousness, most people, they're thinking, oh, through this process I can be liberated? People are very, very much starving for liberation because they're frustrated with the sufferings of this world. Especially in the West, salvation is the goal of practically everyone's approach to God, which means liberation. And in India, most all of these great, 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 great yogis in the eyes of the world, they have strived for lifetimes for liberation, and they are teaching the path to liberation. But a devotee sees liberation as an insignificant thing. In the story of Srila Haridas Thakur, one time he was giving a lecture in an assembly of very, very aristocratic people. There was a program arranged for him by Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, and they were very wealthy businessmen, and they had many of their choicest officers, employees, and distinguished people were in the audience. And Haridas Thakur, all he would preach was the glories of the holy name. That's all he knew. He was the Namacharya. He did not go indirectly. He would just Harinam, that's all. He would just, his only business was to convince people to chant Hare Krishna. So he was explaining in this lecture that people are mad for liberation. But as far as a devotee is concerned, the chanting of the holy name is so powerful that liberation is an insignificant byproduct of the result of chanting Hare Krishna. We are not chanting Hare Krishna for anything but loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And compared to love of God, liberation is insignificant. It has no value. And then he explained, just as in the morning, at the time of dawn, before the sun rises, there is light. But then after the light, the sun actually appears. So it is not that preliminary light that is of great importance. It's the coming of the sun that is of all importance. The preliminary light is simply a byproduct of the fact that the sun is rising. So he said, love of God is like the shining, blazing sun, and liberation is like that preliminary light, which is just a natural byproduct of the rising sun coming. So one devotee of the name Gopal Chakravarti, he was very upset because he was a liberationist. He had heard so many lectures by so many gurus and yogis about the glories of liberation and how you should give everything for liberation. He said, I can't tolerate minimizing the position of mukti. I curse you! That if mukti is nothing but a byproduct of bhakti, if this is not true, then may your nose fall off. Everybody in the assembly was very disturbed because he was offending such a great devotee of the Lord. And within a few days, this Gopal Chakravarti contracted leprosy, and his fingers, which were... He was a very learned man. He was a most learned man. And he was full of all material good qualities. He was very handsome, very beautiful. He said his fingers were beautiful like the buds of the champak flower. They melted off and his nose fell away. And then everyone understood that what Haridas Thakur was saying is certainly true. And here Prabodhananda Saraswati is expanding on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, I do not even want liberation, by saying that as far as he's concerned, merging into Brahman or Mukti appears no better than hell. Kaivalya Narakayate. In fact, for a devotee, liberation is worse than hell.
Why?
Because in liberation, mukti, you lose your consciousness of your individual identity. You temporarily, when we say temporarily, it may be for millions of creations, but that is also temporary. You temporarily forget your own personality. It's like when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, you have no more problems. You have no more miseries. Everything is just completely peaceful. So peaceful, you forget that you even exist. That's why people love to sleep so much, because they're so miserable. Sleep is just a wonderful way to be peaceful.
In the West,
perhaps in the East also, one of the most marketable items is sleeping pills. Because people love to sleep, because it's the only way they can just forget. They have problems with their family. You fall asleep, you forget you have a family. You have problems with your physical health. You fall asleep, you forget you have a body. You're having problems with your business. You fall asleep, you forget you have a business. You're having problems with your economic situation. You fall asleep. You're neither rich nor poor. You forget that you need money. There's a world war going on and you're afraid. Oh, what will happen? You fall asleep and everything's very peaceful. So liberation is like falling asleep in that sense. You just forget all the problems caused by the dualities of this material world. And it's blissful. It's blissful compared to the suffering. Therefore people like to sleep very much. So mukti is the goal of practically everyone on the religious path in this land. But Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying it's worse than hell.
Why? Because when you fall asleep to your individual identity, how can you serve Krishna?
In hell, you might be suffering horribly, but at least you can offer some service. Who cares if I'm suffering? I could do something for Krishna in that situation. Vasudev Das said, let me go to hell forever, Krishna, because I know how much you love everyone else. So by me suffering in hell forever, I can do some service for you. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, which is a billion times more blissful than heaven, to go to the opposite pole of existence, New York City, because he wanted to render some service. New York City is like hell for a Brijbasi. But he wanted to render service. He was willing to go to hell to render service. But to have no service is worse than hell. That is the statement of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam bhajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rabhaiti kitva. Because Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur had understood the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he received the mercy of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore we see here how much he has entered into the essence of the highest realization of bhakti. And Rupa Goswami, in his simple shloka from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describes simply this fact, that pure devotional service is unmixed by any other aspiration other than pleasing Krishna. And the Bhagavatam itself, in so many verses, explains this.
The second shloka of Bhagavatam, Dharma Prayojita Kayutubhatra Paramaniramatsaranam Sattam.
That this Bhagavat Purana kicks out all sub-religious principles. The sub-religious principles are Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. Religiosity, which means piety, performing the proper rituals at the proper times for the proper purpose,
being moral, living according to the proper spiritual traditions.
This is religiosity. Bhagavatam kicks it out.
It's dhamma,
artha. That means economic development. People who are aspiring for higher levels of security in this world.
Kama, sense gratification. People are mad to approach God for sense gratification.
and moksha, liberation. From the very beginning, Bhagavatam kicks it out. Savai pungshan kuro dharma yato bhakti radhokshaje ahvaitiki aprati hataje jatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation is what the Bhagavatam teaches. And that supreme occupation is that which brings one to the platform of unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the living embodiment through his life and teachings of the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like the Vedanta Sutra is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, but it is very difficult to understand. Therefore, the Supreme Lord Krishna himself, in his literary incarnation of Vedavyas, made his own commentary of the Vedanta Sutra in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But even the Bhagavatam, although it's clear what it means, pure devotional service is on every page, still, although Bhagavatam explains in the second verse that we kick out artha kama dhamma moksha, but still, most people that read the Bhagavatam read it with the eyes of artha kama dhamma moksha, and most teachers are teaching it in this way. Therefore, the same Lord who came as Vedavyas to make commentary of the Vedanta Sutra came personally to explain what is the real essence of the Bhagavatam. That is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to teach the true, pure message of Bhagavatam without any adulteration. And this one verse explains it in capsule form. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajakatisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaitaki dvai. I do not want wealth or any form of sense enjoyment. I do not want any amount of followers or worshippers or people going like pranams to me. I do not want any mystic perfections. I do not even want liberation. I only want birth after birth after birth to be your humble servant, my Lord, to please you, my Lord. This verse is the essence of the Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his life, taught that by glorifying the holy name of the Lord, we can understand the real truth of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam ends the last verse that simply by serving the devotees and chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can be freed of all sins and attain love of God. That is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. And within the Bhagavatam, we read so many beautiful stories, like the one we are reading today about Ambarish Maharaj, how his simple and humble devotion to Sri Krishna, which was unmixed by any other desires for anything but to please the Lord, was so dear and pleasing to the Lord that the Lord protected him even from the most powerful yogi in all the world, in all the universe. So therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his empowered followers, they are giving this world the prime benediction for humanity at large, because they are teaching the unadulterated pure essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. Krishna ends Bhagavad Gita Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. How many people are actually teaching that? Most people are teaching religion. And he's teaching you, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to Krishna. Therefore, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught by his life, and who empowered Srila Rupa Goswami to write these precepts down in great, wonderful literatures,
Srila Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is. Very simple, as it is. Krishna says surrender, surrender. But it's so simple. As it is so simple. He says surrender, surrender.
But most commentators, without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
they say, oh, he says surrender, but really what he means is this. And they give so many interpretations of what surrender means. Because they don't want to surrender. When you don't want to do something, but you want people to think that you're doing it, you interpret what it really means.
But if you just have a simple heart and say, yes, I want to do it, then you just accept it as it is. No interpretation. There are so many deep, deep, deep grand philosophies in this world by very renowned philosophers. And really, the whole philosophy is just to have a very, very convincing and incredible interpretation by which we have an excuse to not surrender. There's something else. Surrender. There's something else we have to do, which is even more difficult. Surrender is easy for one who has a simple heart. Just surrender. Yes, Krishna, whatever you like. I am your servant, birth after birth. That is the simple, wonderful teaching of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the wonderful teaching of Ambarish Maharaj. That is the wonderful example set by all the great pure devotees. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Pachetas, Narada Muni, Shukadev Goswami, Maharaj Pariksha. We read of the lives of those persons who had the simple heart of understanding Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam as it is. No aspiration, no attachments, except to be the servant of the servant of the servant, birth after birth after birth. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? We are not concerned easy or difficult. We are just concerned with presenting the truth as it is, with a humble and sincere desire to serve that person by giving him the wonderful treasure of bhakti. It is difficult because in this age of Kali Yuga, the society is very complicated. And unfortunately, people's minds are filled with so many ideas of what is happiness. People are being exploited and cheated in so many ways, in the name of politics, in the name of economics, in the name of philosophy, in the name of religion. People are being cheated so much. It's very difficult for people to trust anybody, especially if they're saying something very simple, because they're very complicated. People are always on guard. People are always on guard to protect themselves, to protect what they have. And in this world,
people who want to exploit are very, very cunning, very clever, very sophisticated, and very expert in so many complicated ways of just diverting your attention this way or that way so that they can take what you have in one form or another. Huh? So everybody is always very much trying to, not everybody, but most people, they are very much on guard trying to understand what is his motive, what is he trying to do, why, how. They have all sorts of complicated guards for everybody that they meet. Huh? But the absolute truth is so simple. It's very difficult for them to just open their hearts in a simple way to accept it. Huh? Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that if you can just be convinced of one thing, you'll go back to Godhead.
That I am not, I have not come to cheat you.
If you simply are convinced that I have not come to cheat you, then you will go back to Godhead very soon. Because this is the world, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, of the cheaters and the cheated. But by simply repeating the pure truth for those persons, it is not our words, it is God's words. And those fortunate persons who are willing to open their hearts and hear, they will become purified. And if they don't open their hearts to hear, if you give them a little prasad, they will become purified. And that will guarantee that sooner or later their hearts will open to hear. So preaching means to somehow or other open a man's heart. And when that heart is opened, give it whatever it will take of the truth. Enthusiastic way of preaching. If I spoke Hindi, I would also like to do like this, but no taxi drivers speak English, so. Becoming lazy here in India. But yes, we should be enthusiastic. Whoever we meet, we somehow or other give them Krishna. But one thing I can do is when I'm leaving the taxi, I say Hare Krishna. He's heard the name of Krishna. Or if we have some prasad, we say, give them some prasad. But everyone we meet, we try to somehow or other bring them closer to Krishna. And you cannot imagine the profound effect any way you put them in Krishna consciousness will have on their life. One morsel of prasad can have a tremendous effect. That one morsel of prasad could make them devotees in this life or the next. That hearing that the two syllables Krishna when you're stepping out of the taxi, that could be the seed. It will be the seed by which that person becomes very soon a great saint. Do not underestimate the power of Krishna. And how much you'll be Krishna conscious in giving we receive, how much you will be Krishna conscious in if every situation you're in, you're always meditating on how I could somehow or other bring this person closer to Krishna. Whether you're in a bus, whether you're in a taxi, whether you're walking down the street, whether you're talking to somebody, whether you're buying something in a store, everything you do, whoever you come in contact with, just think, how can I somehow or other bring this person closer to Krishna?
Can I have a discussion with them, talk the philosophy? Can I give them a book? Can I give them some prasad? Can I just say Hare Krishna? In this way, if you follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction, whoever you meet, wherever you go, Yare deka thare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara goi guru hoy thare desh. Be guru. Guru means to bring people close to Krishna. Be the guru. Wherever you are, whoever you meet, give them Krishna. And if you're always thinking like this, how Krishna conscious you will be. You'll be perfectly Krishna. So this should be our meditation. We should practice the discipline of this meditation.
Hare Krishna.